section, the section you also asked, maybe further elaboration on the expansion plan of the department. Maybe just in terms of the issues here today, and then we maybe can start with the expenditure report for 2014-15 first. In terms of the biannual reports, the Secretariat has brought it under my attention that those reports were not tabled in terms of the rules. Although they have been forwarded to us, they have not been tabled officially in Parliament as such. So what we will ask IFED to table it formally in terms of the rules, and then when the Secretariat also comes back in October, they must also table some of their reports, then we will deal with it. So we won't be able to deal with it today. So in terms of our order of business, we will first deal with the quarterly expenditure report, and then also with the implementation of the IFED Act and then the expansion plan. So that's going to be our agenda. So over to Mr. McBride to introduce his team, and then also in terms of the presentation.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you very much. We'll start from my right-hand side. As Executive Support Director, Internet and Mobile. On my left-hand side is the Program Manager of Investigations and Information Management, Mr. Matthew Sissoko. On his left is Mr. Nancy Ander, Program Manager for Administration, and on her left is the CFO, Linda Wurfing-Longo, and on her left is Parliamentary Liaison Officer, Ms. Charlotte Lobe, and on her left is Acting Programme 4 Manager, Marianne Hertz, and on her left is Mr. Moses Lamini, National Spokesperson, Independent Police Investigative Director. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I think we can start then with the first matter, is the first quarterly expenditure report and related matters. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, if you allow me, if I can do a brief overview before I'll hand over to the CFO to deal with the first quarter expenditure. Just briefly, the performance covered in this report occurred in a unique context. Is a period of transition, a new administration, a new executive director, a situation of a number of senior management vacancies. These dynamics impacted upon the expenditure trends. But in spite of these challenges, a slight change in the presentation from what we sent is that 9 out of 11 of the chief directors who were advertised in March have been appointed. They are in the process of receiving their appointment letters and confirming when they can start. Our audit for 2013-2014 is an unqualified audit. We've started to regulate, monitor, and tighten up performance issues. Minimum targets for completion of cases have been set for investigators. Backlog teams have been set in the provinces to deal with the NPA in dealing with backlogs. So it's dedicated backlog teams. And projects have been identified for systemic corruption and some investigations are in full swing. And the environmental assessment audits done by the top management have already started, and we're getting a good idea of what the situation is on the coal face. And now, Honourable Chairperson, I'll hand over to our CFO, Ms. Linda Woodland-Longo, to deal with the first quarter expenditure. Thank you.
Thank you. Just maybe before, thank you for that, Mr. McBride. I think what is quite important from your presentation, maybe more detail, I think the committee previously indicated that the necessity to move with the appointment of your senior staff, so we welcome the fact that that has been done, because that has been hampering, I think, organization in
7 out of the 9 are from outside, 2 are internals, from the provincial heads. Mr. Sissoko has been appointed as the program manager for investigation and information management. The post of legal services chief director is in the process of being re-advertised, as we did not obtain the most suitable candidates. And the posts of internal audit and the post of corporate governance are about to be filled. The process has been completed. And the new post of program 4, stakeholder management and compliance monitoring, will go out shortly. A number of posts are waiting finalization from the DPSA. The new structure has been approved, DPSA has approved it. They have asked for one additional letter of confirmation of funds for us to go ahead and fill in those posts. At the moment of advertised posts, without regard to the newly created posts that we established within the baseline, we are standing around about 10% vacancy right now. So we hope by the end of the calendar year to be below that 10%.
Yeah, Mr. Bright, who is the person that has been appointed as provincial head? We need that information. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will ask for Mrs. Betsy Hunter to deal with that. Thanks.
Good morning, Honourable Members, and thank you, Chairperson. In Northern Cape, we have appointed, maybe if I can also clarify, Mr. McBride said we are in the process of issuing the appointment letters. We've issued the appointment letters already, and most candidates have confirmed that they are accepting our offer. We are waiting for a few who must confirm before Friday. The offers have been given to Northern Cape, it's Ms. Sengele. Mpumalanga is Ms. Manobe. In Western Cape is Mr. Mungwe. In KZN is Mr. Maharaj, is Ms. Maharaj. In Free State is Mr. Khamanyane. In Limpopo it's Mr. Kuba. Okay, in Gauteng is Ms. Chanase. I'm sorry, Chairperson, I'm just memorized from my memory. I didn't bring the list accurate. In Eastern Cape, I can't remember the name of the candidate, but it's an external candidate. It's a person from outside. But we've got, the highlight is that we've got three, we managed to get three females for the list.
Thanks for that, Honourable Abachi.
Thanks, Chair. Two statements. The ED is saying they are in the process of issuing. The presenter just said we have issued. Which is which? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Molibat, it's a very good question. I didn't anticipate the speed at which my department works, so I'm pleasantly surprised that it's been done already. Thank you.
Maybe just a follow up on the information. Thank you very much. The executive director indicated that 7 out of the 9 is from outside the department. I just want to know, is there any former members of SAPS that's been appointed? Yes or no? Thanks.
Yes, Chairperson.
How many?
Out of 7 external candidates, it could be 4 or 5.
Honourable
the suggestion that we are dubious about the appointment is incorrect and it's unfair. We did not come to the meeting today expecting to name people who've been appointed. We know what we've done. We've appointed people, and they've been appointed properly in line with all precedents. If we are given the slightest iota of knowledge that we'd require the names of everybody appointed, we'd have brought it. So I think it's unfair on the women. So we have that, we can provide it to you, and we were here for the first quarter expenditure, the Section 9 end report, and so on. So we have appointed, so we've made it available to the committee. The names, they are new people, I've never seen their faces, I don't know them. Based on merit, they were appointed by the selection panels, and within the powers given to me by the Act, I've appointed them. Thank you.
I'm based two answers, Honourable Bijo, then Honourable Mark, and then Honourable Mulati.
Please, you need to understand my dubious. The way me, as Mabija Lebogani, the way I'm seeing things going on there, that's why I said dubious. I don't say the information that you are giving about those candidates is not correct. I don't say that. I am saying the way you are behaving before us here. Firstly, Mr. McBride, you said something and she said something different. Secondly, when she's supposed to tell us something, seeking second opinion or information. That is what I'm worried about. Are we seated here before incompetent people? What is it that I'm seeing? And I must speak out. I'm not here just to say yes, yes, but I must speak out if I don't understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama Bicho, Mama Mark, and then Mama Malabachi, and then we'll go forward.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to clarify one thing. Or on this issue, I would say, for me, the names wouldn't mean anything anyway. And I think the names are a phone call away. One of them can go out and find the names and present them, even if they wouldn't mean anything to me. My question would be, this internal and external appointments, are the internal appointments referring to people who were excellent? And then external would mean new people altogether. I mean, maybe from some university or from, is that what it means? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Can I make a request that we give IFIS chance to make their presentation and then we interact at the end, Chair. Thanks.
Right. Let's go ahead then with the orderly. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honourable members. I'll be taking you through the first quarter expenditure report for the current financial year 2014-15. The first slide on slide 7 shows you the expenditure for the first quarter for each of the programs of the IPID in the graph at the top, left-hand side. As you can see, their administration spent 17%, Program 2, Investigation and Information Management, spent 16%, Legal Services spent 5%, and Program 4 spent 7% of their appropriated budget. The target for that first quarter is the red line, which is the 25% benchmark target. In terms of economic classification for acted as a whole against the target of 25%. Compensation of employees, where we're sitting at 17%, goods and services 14%, departmental agencies is 17%, and machinery and equipment was sitting at 4%. In terms of explanations for the variances against the target of 25%, most of the under expenditure was due to the additional newly created vacant and funded positions, which were created in the current financial year. Those are 44 additional posts. In terms of that process, the organizational structure was approved post-appointment of the new Minister of Police and is currently with DPSA for consideration before full implementation. There was also slow expenditure noted in machinery, mostly within programs 2, 3, and 4. And we've noticed that historically responsibility managers tend to be over-optimistic in terms of execution of their procurement plans within the first quarter. In the first quarter, most responsibility managers are still closing off the previous financial year in terms of their statistics for the annual report. They are still being subjected to audits by the Auditor General. And against their business plans for the first quarter, we see that they sometimes build it over expectation to spend 25% of their procurement plans within the first quarter. Slide 8 then just shows you the picture that has been shown in the previous slide in a table format. And as you can see there, overall, the department spent 16% of the budget appropriation and at the end of the first quarter, with the slowest expenditure being in programs 2, 3, and 4, which experienced the highest level of vacancy. In terms of program 1, on the next slide, in terms of Program 1 consists also of sub-programs, and the expenditure according to these sub-programs against the target of 25% was 18% for department management, 17% for corporate services, 16% for office accommodation, 14% for internal audit, and 18% for finance services. In terms of expenditure per economic classification, for Program 1 specifically, Program 1 spent 21% of compensation of employees, 14% of goods and services. There was no movement as yet in departmental agencies and 10% in machinery and equipment. The compensation of employees spending was closer to the target as compared to the other economic classifications, and it will continue to be monitored throughout the year to ensure that it does not lead to a state of over expenditure. In terms of the area where there was no movement to date, which is for departmental agencies and accounts, the less than targeted spending there was due to the skills development fund that can only be transferred to FACITA after the signing of the service level agreement by National Treasury. We're still awaiting the go-ahead there so that we can effect that transfer. There were also delays in processing the invoice for office rentals and property from DPW, which contributed to under expenditure as you see in the sub-program office accommodation. And this program also experienced low movement in the implementation of their procurement plans. On slide 10, the next slide then shows you those tables in a tabular format, again showing spending overall for program 1 sitting at 17%, with the slowest expenditure in sub-programs internal audit, where they also are high levels of vacancies currently in that unit. In terms of program two, in terms of its sub-program expenditure, there was very little spending in investigation management. Investigation services, which is the sub-program that houses all the provincial and the district offices, the spending was at 16%. Information management was at 15%. Program 2, spending per economic classification, compensation of employees was sitting at 16% against the target of 25%, goods and services was at 15%, and slow expenditure 8% for machinery and equipment. The underspending occurred in all of the sub-programs, but most of it significantly in investigation management due to the vacancies that were experienced.
their departmental agency. This was way above the targeted expenditure for the first quarter due to unexpected leave gratuities that had to be paid to officials who left the department within this program. The appropriation will be adjusted accordingly to fund this, but this was just reflected to show that this was above the targeted expenditure for this quarter. The next table then shows you in a table format the spending for Program 2, which overall was sitting at 16%, most of the under expenditure in investigation management sub-program. In terms of the spending, just to zone into the second sub-program investigation to show you the picture of the first quarter spending for each of our provincial and district offices. The first graph there shows the spending for each of the provincial offices. Again, the spending is against the target of 25% for the first quarter. Eastern Cape, which is the first one on the left-hand side of that graph, was sitting at 14%. Free State was sitting at 13%. Gauteng Provincial Office 15%. KZN Provincial Office was sitting at 17%. Limpopo Provincial Office at 15%. Mpumalanga Provincial Office exceeded the target. They are sitting at 28% and are currently being monitored to ensure no over expenditure. Northwest was sitting at 22%, Northern Cape Provincial Office at 18%, and Western Cape Provincial Office at 17%. So one provincial office exceeded the target for first quarter. Most of the provincial offices were below target, with the Northwest Provincial Office sitting at 22%, which was close to the target, and the lowest expenditure provincial office was experienced in the Free State province. In terms of our district offices, against the target of 25%, none of the region's district offices met the target of 15%. Our highest was at the Northern Cape District Office, which spent 19% of the budget. However, District Office Eastern Cape was sitting at 14%, Free State at 15%, Gauteng at 11%, Limpopo District at 16%. Sorry, Limpopo District at 16%, KZN at 16%, Mpumalanga at 14%, Northwest District at 15%, Northern Cape District Office at 19%, and Western Cape at 12%. The slowest spending per district office was experienced in Gauteng as well as in the Western Cape region. If we move to the next program, Program 3, this is the Legal Services Program. In terms of spending per sub-program, Legal Support, which houses the only spend 4%. Litigation Advisory Services spent close to 0%, and Investigation Advisory Services spent 10%. Per economic classification, compensation was sitting at 6%, goods and services at 2%, and machinery and equipment at 0%. And the expenditure trends experienced for the first quarter here were impacted by the high level of vacancies experienced by the legal services sub-program. As you'd note, this is a sub-program consisting of a small number of positions, so vacancies experienced here impact significantly on the ability of the program to spend. Some of these vacancies included the program manager for legal services program, as well as senior personnel in this program. As a result of this, other spending items were also affected by these vacancies, and there was also slow movement in terms of the implementation of their procurement plans. Slide 18, the next slide then shows this picture in a tabular format, showing the overall spending for legal services sitting at 5% for the first quarter. In terms of Program 4, which is compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, per sub-program, compliance monitoring expenditure was at 14%, with very little expenditure in stakeholder management. The spending per economic classification, compensation of employees was 9%, goods and services 1%, and machinery and equipment had no movement in the first quarter. Again, here, this program, it was also impacted by the level of vacancies currently experienced in this program, which also then impacted spending on other spending items. There was also a notice of slow movement in the The next slide, just to summarize some of the experiences that have been noted in the slides before, which just shows the main reasons for overall underspending in the first quarter was attributable due to the following factors. First being delays in filling off additional newly created vacant and funded positions, the 44 additional positions which were created in the 2014-15 financial year. And the status with this, as indicated, is that the structure has been approved post-implementation of the new Minister of Police and is currently with the DPSA for consideration before implementation. There were also delays in filling some of key funded vacancies, which included the Program Manager 2 and 3 for legal services, the 9 provincial heads, and other vacated investigator positions, which impacted negatively on the spending performance of the IPED for the first quarter. The Program Manager 2 has been appointed, and as you've heard this morning, the provincial heads have also been appointed. There was also slow expenditure, mainly in the programs that experienced the high levels of vacancies, which were Program 2, 3, and 4. This was due to slow initiation of procurement plans, as well as the over-optimistic expectations in terms of the ability to execute procurement plans within the first quarter. There were also delays in implementing of the procurement of office accommodation by DPW, also contributed to previous as well as current spending trends. And key funded activities such as the case management system and investigative equipment did not register expenditure as projected in the first quarter. In terms of measures to improve the spending trends which are currently being implemented, there's the presentation of monthly expenditure reports highlighting over and under expenditure at the management committee meetings, and these reports are presented to the responsibility managers with recommendations of measures to improve their individual spending trends so that the overall spending trend of the department will be on par. Responsibility managers have also been sensitized at the highest level with regards to slow expenditure, and the expenditure will be closely monitored until it materializes to desired trends. There have been ED communications issued at the medical level and as well as at an operational level for the improvement of the implementation of their operational plans. Another one is the prioritizing of the filling of funded vacant positions, as well as quarterly budget meetings to evaluate spending trends and make necessary adjustments. There are also regular engagements between the department and DPW with regards to the procurement of accommodation requirements to ensure that this area also moves as expected. And that brings me then to the end of the presentation of the first quarter expenditure report. Thank you.
Thank you. The other program managers are likely to continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will be presenting the first quarter performance report for Program 1 administration. We had 12 key performance indicators that we are reporting on. The first one is number of media statements that are released annually. The target, annual target is 40. For this particular quarter, the target was 10 and we achieved 10 statements. Number of responses to media inquiries that are released, the annual target is 120. The quarterly target was 30. We achieved 120. Number of performance monitoring and evaluation reports submitted to ensure attainment of strategic objectives, the annual target is 13. The target for this particular quarter was 1, and we achieved 1. Number of financial and strategic reports submitted to for reporting per year, the annual target is 22. For this quarter was 5. The actual performance is 4. We missed 1. We will explain at the end of the report how we missed this one. Vacancy rate maintained at below 10%. The annual target is below 10%. This this is an annual target, but if I can inform members, during the reporting period we were at 23.4%. Females employed by the directorate at senior management level, our target is an annual target of 50%. During the reporting, currently, as at the end of June, we were at 35%. However, this is the annual target. Percentage of staff complement consists of people living with disability. Annual target is 2%. At the time of reporting, we were at 0.7%. Approved retention policy, it is an annual target. Currently, the policy is at draft stage and it is at consultation level. Develop ICT plan. Annual target is learn, refresh, and upgrade project done at head office. Quarterly target was technical requirement specifications needed to be completed at that stage. Actual target, it was achieved. We managed to draft the specification. We'll be moving on this quarter with the procurement process. Produce ICT governance quarterly report. Annual target is 4. For the quarter, it was 1, and we managed to achieve this target. Number of reviews of organizational functions and structures. We have to, it's an annual target. We revise our structure on annual basis to assess if it is still addressing our strategic needs as the organization. It will be performed during the third quarter of the current financial year. Number of environmental assessments studies conducted per year. The target is 10. For the quarter, we targeted 1, and we managed to achieve this particular one. Out of 12 KPIs that administration had to achieve, we achieved 6 KPIs. Other 5 KPIs are annual performance targets, and they are not reported under the period on the period under review. We could not achieve one target due to the reasons that I mentioned below. We did not have sufficient capacity from internal audit to do the verification of our report on time in order to allow the executive director to sign off the quarterly report, as it should have been indicated that the position of the director internal audit has been vacant. So those are some of the reasons why we could not submit this particular report. Going forward, the capacity is being built in internal audit. Also, this function of verification of report is moving to performance monitoring and evaluation with respect to 2014-15 financial year. I've already alluded to the progress also on the annual targets that have been put up. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. The next program,
Chair. Chairperson, just before we go to the next program, could I ask our national spokesperson in giving context to our program to just deal with some of the highlights and then touch on some high-profile cases before we go into program two.
Welcome, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Member. During this period of this quarter, we dealt with a number of high-profile cases, including a few that I want to highlight. The first case is a Wamakuta case where we arrested 3 policemen for assault, GBH, housebreaking, and theft. Now the case emanated from an article that was reported in the Sunday, in the Daily Sun, where a person went to a police station. She
this case and started investigating, it actually revealed other cases which involve the same police officers, and therefore, instead of focusing on the one policeman who perpetrated the assault, we ended up arresting three policemen. The theft involves the policeman going to somebody's house to serve a subpoena, a court matter, and then ending up stealing a music system from that person's house. So that matter is now in the court road. Another one involves an arrest for rape that we dealt with. It's a rape and pointing of a firearm. This 19-year-old female was walking in Phosphorus with her boyfriend in the morning, early hours of the morning, around 2 o'clock. And they had stopped their vehicle, which is a Polo. Then the police came up to them in their party, and then they demanded, they pointed the firearm, demanded the cell phones from this couple, and then took the lady and raped her. IPIT, of course, took the matter up when it was reported, and managed to track down the policeman, and two policemen were arrested. The matter is also on the court roll. The third case that I just want to also mention, Chairperson, is a shooting in Warrington in the Northern Cape, where three people were shot. The policeman, he was on duty, but they were shot at the tavern. It's not known why the policeman was at the tavern, but what happened there, he fought with some people who were there drinking, and took out his official firearm. He was in full uniform, and then used it against these people. Of course, IPT investigated and decided that the policeman should be arrested. He then faced a charge of murder and two counts of attempted murder. The matter that matter is in the court, and of course there is the topical one that is in the news of the IPT investigation into the National Commissioner, allegations of defeating the end of justice. The IPT took that matter after investigating it. And based on all the evidence that the IPT had, then sent this matter to the National Prosecuting Authority for decision. And the decision was made not to prosecute. Those are the cases I just wanted to highlight, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Right, can we continue then with the program managers? We'll take all the questions after their presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the performance for Program 2, our first indicator was for the registration and allocation of cases within 72 hours. The program has not been able to meet the target in this regard. Of the target of 98%, we are only able to achieve 64%, and this is due to capacity constraints that we've been experiencing. We have, however, introduced the monitoring tool in the provinces where the case intake committee sits to ensure that we improve on this performance.
percent.
We are also still unable to meet that target, and we're only able to do 6% of those cases. And the reasons are also the same in that regard. With regard to cases of rape by a police officer, our target was 60%. We're only able to do 21% of the cases. And also in this situation, a similar directive has been issued in terms of the target by each investigator for at least 5 cases minimum per month. With regard to investigation of rape in police custody, the target is 60%. We are unable to meet the target, only we're able to do only 40%. And the reasons are also the same in this regard. With regard to cases of torture, the target is 50%, and we only manage to do 8% of the cases. And the reasons are also the same as alluded earlier. And the directive has also been issued in this regard for the issue of completion by each investigator, or to target at least 5 cases by each investigator. When you look at cases of assault, the picture is still pretty much the same. We are able to meet the target. The target was 50%, we only able to do 6%. With regard to corruption cases, the picture is also still the same. We only able to do 5%. With regard to other criminal matters, we're only able to do 4% of the 55%. With regard to all these cases, as I've indicated, that we've been unable to meet the target. What we find is that the our ability to complete cases within 90 days has been a challenge generally on all these cases. We have even engaged our knowledge management to do a research, and they are in the progress of finalizing the report on the causes that makes us unable to complete cases within the 90-day period, and also what measures can be put in place, or what would be the appropriate target in respect of this. As things stand, our regulations provide that we complete cases within 90 days, except where we give reasons. So overall, when you look at the picture, our ability to complete cases within 90 days, it is a challenge. But when you look at the cases that we complete after 90 days, the picture becomes different. So that is the issue that we are engaging with. With regard to the number of systemic corruption, that must be identified for possible investigation. In the first quarter, no cases of systemic corruption were identified, and this is due also to capacity constraints. However, we have issued a directive to provinces to embark on a project of identifying this systemic corruption so that moving forward in the next quarters, we are able to meet this target. With regard to percentage of approved systemic corruption investigations, our target is 20% of the approved cases. It's an annual target, and none of the cases were completed for this period, because it's an annual target. With regard to reduction of backlog, it is an annual target. However, our backlog cases also increased, and we also issued a directive with regard to a dedicated project team to deal specifically with backlog cases. And we're hoping that this would deal with the issue of these backlog cases so that by the end of the financial year, we have an improved picture in this regard. With regard to recommendations to the SAPS, we of the 100% target, we only be viewed against the background of what the CFO has already indicated with regard to capacity issues in that area. I'm currently acting as the chief director in that environment also, as indicated that the post of the chief director is still vacant and other core people in that environment. As a result, the issue of capacity has affected the ability of legal services also to meet their targets. The first target of percentage of contracts and service level agreement finalized within 10 days. Three were received and none finalized within the 30-day period, and the target was not met. With regard to percentage of legal opinion provided to the directorate within 21 days, the target is 90 days, only 50% was achieved. So the target was also not met in that regard. With regard to policies being reviewed, here no policies were received for legal services, so there's no issue of performance in that regard. A number of practice notes and directives produced by the legal services, the target is 4 because of the issues relating to capacity also. No practice notes were produced during the first quarter. Percentage of legal advice provided to investigators within 24 hours, no request was received in this regard. And then percentage of written legal advice, also there was no request received. With regard to percentage of policing powers processed within 5 days, we only achieved 33% because only one policing power was able to be processed of the three within the 5 day period. And then with regard to percentage of buyer requests, we target ourselves 100%, we only achieve 55.5%. As indicated, the issue of capacity has been a burning issue also in this regard. Percentage of legal and civil litigation, the target there was 90%, we're able to achieve the 100%. Percentage of legal and labor litigation matters, the target is 100%. We're able to achieve the target there because only one was received and that one was dealt with. That is my presentation, Chairperson of Legal Services.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of program 4, our first target with regard to the number of community outreach events, our annual target is 306, quarterly target 76, our actual output was only 23. The reason for this deviation was because of the slow implementation of our community outreach plans. We already implemented them for corrective action. We've identified the ED is to then issue a directive in terms of measures to be put in place for us to rectify the situation. In terms of our number of community policing forum meetings, annual target is 40, quarterly target is 10, our actual output was only 1, then meetings with the CPF did not take place as they were supposed to, and then we will be continuing to engage with CPFs to rectify the situation. In terms of our number of the formal engagement the stakeholders have held nationally, annual target is 12, quarterly 3, our actual output was 2, evidence that was not available at the time of the compilation of the quarterly report, and then we have already put measures in place to ensure that we have evidence available by missing we compile the quarterly reports. The number of the formal engagement is on the provincial level, 108 for the annual target, 27 for the quarterly, actual output was 14. The same reason there, the evidence was not available at the time, and then the same measures applies to that as well. terms of a number of the reports for the evaluation of the quality of the IBID recommendations, Anna's target is 4 quarterly reports, 1 per quarter. The actual output was a draft. The report was only submitted then after the quarter, and then obviously our corrective action would be to submit the report then earlier into the quarter. The deviation was in terms of an administrative submittal of the report. The same then is also applicable to the second report in terms of the implementation of the IPUT recommendations. The same information is there applicable to that as well as to the last report in terms of the number of reports on evaluations of the SUPS and NPS compliance with the reporting obligations in terms of the IPUT Act. And then in terms of the 7 targets that we had, 4 of those targets were actually new, and they are obviously aimed at strengthening our stakeholder relationships. And then our biggest challenges was basically our slow implementation of our community outreach plans, and then obtaining quality supporting evidence, which we have now been focusing on and putting guidelines in place to raise our standards, and putting also templates. We've designed and distributed already specific templates to be uniform, and then the EU is also going to issue more directives in terms of the compliance of these specific targets. Thank you.
Thank you for the presentations. We will now go to questions. Honourable Molabatsa.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is on the, in the past financial year, at the police station called Leopoldgraaf in Gauteng, a police officer raped a woman who went to lay a charge of rape. How, where are we regarding that case? My second question is, what is the current status of the lease agreement and the process thus far? The other one is, IT is not known in our communities. My worry now comes when I see the slow implementation. How do you move to rectify this? Mr. Soko, you say you are acting in the legal services. How long are you acting, and how long still will you be acting? My other question is on your vacancy rate, 62.5%. What steps have you taken to address this? I don't know if I'm lost somewhere there. But my last one, the 120 media responses released with the first quarter, can you explain their achievements? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Molabatsa. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. None of the provincial offices met their deadlines. How do you explain that? What is your case not paying data? Number 3, can you please give me clarity when you said meeting of CPS did not take place?
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Marke.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just one or two questions. I realize that
put somewhere where you are to follow. It's not for you to determine your own time. I'm not sure what's happening. But I don't think that is fair maybe to yourselves and to us. Because if we are supposed to judge you, we must judge you according to the resources that you have. So the question would be, why do you keep on putting your targets? Is it because you have got to do that because it's cast in iron, or you've got a template to follow? But if you do that, then it doesn't make sense, because there's no way in which you will ever reach your target without those resources. Is it not possible for you to put your strategic plans according to the resources that you have, so that whatever we check on you is what you can manage to do? And if it's in the regulations, as I said, it wouldn't be fair for you to come and report about something that is impossible for you to do. The second question would be on the internal appointments. I would take it if you say internal appointments, it means you took some of those people who were acting in those positions. If that is the case, if you take those that were acting, it means you create or you open other vacancies. And my understanding is that you can't fill them at the same time because you are not sure whether this one will go through or not. So, if that is the case and you still have people acting, it might take you 3 or 4 years to fill all the posts there. I mean, according to my understanding, how do you intend to do it? I mean, solving the talk about provincial and district offices. I understand the provincial offices, but the district offices, you talk about a district office in a province. Can you explain the difference between those, because they are all in the province? In terms of, very last question, in terms of your investigation, you are supposed to be investigating SARS, and most of your investigators, you source them from SARS. Well, it's an advantage and a disadvantage. If by chance you get a genuine one, you will know the methods that they use to to make you work very hard. But if you get one that is not that genuine, it's part and parcel of those people, then you will never get you will never get through with your investigation. Thinking aloud and I wouldn't go for an option of outsourcing. Thinking around, wouldn't it be best to have your in-house training, because you specifically train people according to how you want, or maybe headhunting in tertiary institutions, people who deal specifically with those things. Either you outsource them as employees, or you outsource them to train train your own people within, because if I'm just worried if you keep on recruiting from subs, then according to me, you might be moving in seconds. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Market, Honorable Abidjan, and from Anku, and Honorable Kalabana. We'll go along the line.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know if I did ever go to strategic planning. Just that.
Thanks, Chairman. I just want to address myself on a number of issues, but part of what I wanted to say actually has already been covered. However, excuse me, in terms of slide number 12, the expenditure there exceeded the target by almost 850%. And there is an advance there that it was due to the payment of leave gratuities for officials who have left the department. Would you guys be experiencing a staff turnover? Are people leaving it? Could this be the reason for this? Number two, one of my colleagues actually alluded to the point which I have a concern about, your community outreach program. You are essentially a directorate that should be interacting with community a lot in order to actually have information about the behavior of subs in the community. But I'm very concerned that your interaction with the community is actually almost zero. I would like to hear the same actually true for your interaction with the CPS. To me, it's more wonder than that most CPS are actually experiencing operational challenges because they don't seem to be getting a lot of interaction and support from the right people. Engagements with stakeholders. Somewhere it is said that you were expected to engage with stakeholders, and I'm not too sure if what stakeholders are these, if you could just unpack that for me. The Honourable Member, Mr. Marke, actually alludes to a very critical point in my view as well. The issue of your capacity challenges that you keep on actually raising as a major obstacle in achieving your targets. I was wondering, why shouldn't you actually build a mechanism internally to actually create your own capacity? Internal training, and that leads me to the question of the opportunity of upward mobility of your staff, because I see that a lot of people that you already are contemplating employing are actually coming from outside. There are only three from internal, two, and that to me is already a vote of no confidence in the staff that you have. How much longer is the, for instance, should I make an example of you, Mr. Lamin? How much longer are you going to be the spokesperson? Are you condemned to be the spokesperson until you retire? I mean, what kind of internal capacity are you building so that you do not rely on people from outside? Because at any rate, you are still going to spend a lot of money and time training them. That they are qualified does not mean that they understand the operations of the IT. You would still need to train them. The question is, why don't you train people that are already there and then facilitate upward mobility to address the issue of the critical challenge of capacity, because I'm worried that you are likely to come back to us here and still be mourning about the issue of lack of capacity. The last one on the issue of the procurement of office space. Public Works Department is doing that for you. And I know that every department is actually complaining about the turnaround time for the Public Works Department to actually finalize procurement in terms of, I mean, defense is also complaining about that. So are you seriously not considering your internal capacity to actually procure these things for yourself in order to expedite this process? Thank you.
Honorable Bailey and Honorable Caravano.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think in as much as the committee does understand the reasons and the challenges that IFED is dealing with around filling vacancies, and hence the significant underspending that's been reported on, I have to say that even just on an objective level, these figures represent nothing less than a complete disaster. For a department that is as important as IFED in addressing police misconduct and criminality, and on which many people are very reliant to obtain justice after an incident like the one described by the gentleman from the delegation, it just doesn't do well to encourage hope and faith that there's increasing brightness at the end of the tunnel. And looking at the remedial actions that were pointed to as how to address the underspending, I'm afraid they are woefully inadequate. Partly because at least two of them, which are about monthly and quarterly reporting to evaluate spending trends, the truth is, this is what's happening right now. This is an evaluation of the spending trends. And this meeting in and of itself is not going to address that. And the third point about the filling of funded vacancies, the point is that's the current problem. So you're not going to, if you can't fill them now because that's the problem, then how does filling them become a solution? I guess my question is, what actions that are stronger, more decisive, and just more incisive can you put on the table to assure the committee that come next quarter, the quarter after that, and hopefully the end of this financial year, we can actually say there's been, hey, some major leaps forward in addressing this issue. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. First of all, I want to congratulate IFED for completing an investigation. It's been a year, but they have completed it. That's the case into the Western Cape Police Commissioner Lemoore, and the NPA is reportedly charging him and three of his staff. Of course, your performance in court and whether you win the case or not remains to be seen, but you completed it. The big question is, of course, did you give the legally taped recordings of the National Police Commissioner tipping him off that he was under investigation to the NPA? Is that what their decision not to charge the National Police Commissioner for defeating the ends of justice was based on? Thank you.
Honourable Clark.
stage, the house had perhaps, you know, in the action with the director. And never as possible to identify mechanisms through which you can assist the Department of Speed Assessment Processes. Our intervention with the Department of Public Works probably will be helpful as well, from an infrastructure development point of view. So, this calls upon us to hold hands with them and walk them over. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honourable Judges. Do you have any questions? Two short ones, Chairperson. One is, do you have a lead management policy in place? I think there's expenditure, over expenditure in terms of in one of the areas that you have highlighted here, so that you can prevent it, that it happens in future again in terms of the possible refinement. The other area is in terms of your KPIs and in relation to your targets. The percentage that you are giving, isn't it better to have a specific numerical number in terms of your performance indicators? Thanks.
Thank you very much. Over to the Executive Director, his team.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. If you'll allow me, I'll answer some of the questions and I'll allow my management team to answer when they think necessary. They'll just indicate to me when to refer to them. Honourable Chairperson, I think I'll start with the issue of vacancies. I think firstly the process of selection is prescribed by the various sections of government, how it is done. The issue related to such people applying for vacancies, they are not disqualified from applying. There is limited scope at this stage for strategic intervention in terms of headhunting or not considering the applications of those who qualify. Honourable members will remember the advertisements went out twice. In order to hire the bar, we looked at a high level of experience in terms of number of years at the senior management level and did not get sufficient candidates. We then had to go out on advertisement again with a reduced requisite number of years as per the requirements. So the issue of people internally becoming promoted and then creating a vacancy, it's a normal situation that will arise in any department anyway. It's a natural process of filling vacancies. Internal candidates also cannot be excluded from applying or being seriously considered for appointment. And out of 10 chief directors appointed, 4 are from SAS. One is from Justice, 3 are from IPED, 1 is from Safety and Security Department, 1 is from Community Safety and Liaison. So we've got a good spread. I'm quite happy that we have considered institutional memory. We've considered new injection of competence. Honourable members will remember the last time we met, I raised the issue in response to a question from Honourable Molebatse about my assessment of investigators. And candidly, I explained that not all of us are at the level where we should be, and that requires outside injection. So indeed, the outside injection of competence. So indeed, the results from the selection panels, which were forwarded to me for appointment, the recommendations, cover all the aspects which were raised at various stages by honourable members of this committee. So it's unavoidable that there is an issue of vacancies. One must remember, however, that this is the first time in this our third financial year of existence at IPED that provincial heads have been appointed. It's not an event. And this is, for us, it's an important step. It's an issue. If I look at comments from honorable members over the years on this particular issue, since I came into existence, it has always been on the top of the agenda as to when you will fill the post. Posts have been now filled. We might not have remembered all the names at that stage, but I now have them. Honorable member. The leave management policy, I will ask Director Program, Chief Director Program 1 to deal with that. Just on the Honorable Market, on district offices, the name satellite has been replaced by district or regional. The reason being, satellite infers a temporary solution to a problem that will always be there. Satellite infers a provisional kind of office. So we are looking at establishing permanent presence so people can have access to us. Strategic planning, we do have strategic planning sessions. And within the context of a new administration, new priorities, we better be quite agile and readjust, especially since post-elections, since the minister's strategic objectives were made available to us in the presentation. We've had to consider new strategic directions based on the new emphasis and reprioritization. Okay, just so the issue related to the highlights, Honorable Paula Violet asked a specific question. I think it's most appropriate to say that all information and evidence provided was handed over. I could just ask members of my management to cover specific questions, starting from Mr. Sesoko, and we'll move towards the left. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable members. The question by Honorable Mbatha, on the rape case, unfortunately I don't have the details of that case present in terms of status, but it's information that we can get for you. So we're glad to do that. As to how long I've been acting in the position of Chief Director of Legal Services, it must be understood against the issues that we raised earlier with regard to the capacity. If members would remember that prior to our executive director coming through, Mrs. Mbeki was the acting executive director. And she was actually the chief director of legal services. That was her actual position in action. So when she was not deployed to become the acting executive director, that void had to be filled. So I then had to be called in to help in that space. So I spent myself acting as acting chief director of legal services when Mrs. Mbeki was acting as the executive director. And that went on until she left. And when she left, the post became vacant. However, because we have not yet been filled, I think Ms. Yanda has indicated that the process of the filling went through. Unfortunately, appropriate candidates were not attracted, so the process had to start again. So that is where we are with regard to that. With regard to the question, with that we're not meeting the targets and what are the reasons. When I made a presentation on our ability to meet the targets. I have indicated that the reasons basically are twofold. The first component one is the capacity issue, and that must be also be looked at in relation to our expansion strategy that we've already proposed, that the communities are aware of. And hence, for us, the support of the strategy becomes important, because we believe that once the strategy can be supported and fully implemented, it will help in dealing with issues of capacity. I have also indicated that part of what we did in the program was to engage our knowledge management to say, given the fact that our regulation says we must complete investigations within 90 days, and if we are unable to, we must provide reasons. And in our strategic document, our completion of investigations stopped within 90 days because it referred to in our regulation. We then engaged our knowledge management to say, can we look at doing a research on our ability to meet this target, so that based on what is the outcome of that research will be, then we can probably approach the ministry if we say it's not doable, 90 days is not doable. Approach the ministry with regard to relooking into the regulations themselves. So hence I've said that there is an ongoing process. Once we have the report ready and it has its own findings, then we'll be able to act accordingly. The ED has already indicated with regard to the strategic plan that we do hold strategic plans. We obviously when we do our targets, we have to link our targets to also what is appropriate for us, because we don't want our targets also to look ridiculously low based on the appropriation that we get in our budget. But of course, we also must be alive to the issue of the resources that we have internally. So the issue of the targets is something that will be continuously reviewed. Like when we go to our next quarter, we benchmark against how we perform in this financial year or the half of the financial year. And then that will also inform our targets, whether they remain the same as they are, or they will be reviewed downwards based on what we are doing. Like, remember, like, these targets must be smart, so they must be linked to what you are capable of doing. Yeah, I think I will hand over to the other members. I think I've dealt with most of the matters linked to. Oh, there was a question relating to our investigators as to why we get investigators from SAPS, whether we can develop our own capacity. This is an ongoing discussion within the department. It is however important to mention to members that our investigators are not solely from the SAPS. We do have investigators that are not from the SAPS. We also have investigators that are from SAPS. So it's a mixed bag. However, we have a discussion within the department in terms of developing learnership and so forth, where we also put in at an entry level the core of our investigations. So that is the discussions that we are having within the department, so that we pull in people that will have a culture that we want to build.
services is going out this coming Sunday for advertisement, re-advertisement, as we did not get the suitable candidates. So the recruitment process is going to start. We hope to finalize it soon. The vacancy rate, I think the Honourable Member heard it wrong. The issue of 52% is not true. During the reporting period, it's on the report as well, we said the vacancy rate was at 23.4. However, if we were to remove the newly created positions that are waiting for the finalization of the structure, we would be at about 10%. We would have been at about 10% vacancy rate. The question regarding what is it that we are we achieving with regards to media responses, our national spokesperson is going to talk on this particular matter as well. However, with media responses is where we are setting the record straight, where the media houses are inquiring about our activities, our high profile cases and so on. You will remember that during the reporting period, we've got a number of high profile cases that attracted media attention that Mr. Dlamini has spoken about. So there were quite a number of them, but he's going to talk more on the, what is it exactly that we are achieving as the department. With regard to internal appointments, the executive director did indicate how many internal candidates out of 10 positions that were advertised, that we are filling, that were filled by internal candidates. He said we've got three, which is the gentleman next to me and the other two that are not with us. With regard also to further elaborate on what Mr. Soho responded, already the executive director is communicating with universities in order to establish, I think in the previous engagement with the portfolio committee, he did mention that he's looking at creating the qualification that is relevant, specific to IPID, so that we will recruit at that particular level. So there are plans in place, and we're looking at that. The question about does IPID ever go on strat plan? Yes, we do go every year on strategic planning. Regarding the procurement of accommodation, if we would ever consider building internal capacity so that we work outside DPW, we are working in terms of Government Immovable Asset Management Act that regulates the procurement of government properties. However, we will be looking at checking with National Treasury as well as DPW if we can be exempted from that particular process as a department due to frustration that is formally recorded with regards to the procurement of our immovable assets. With regard to leave management policy, I didn't get the question clearly as the honourable member was talking, another honourable member was coughing, but I will assume that he was asking if we do have the leave policy. We've got the draft, which is ready for approval. It has gone through the consultation processes and so on, so it's going to be approved very soon. Thank you.
No, I see a forest of hands, but maybe those colleagues who are going to end this meeting at 1:20, and a lot of the issues, remember we've got the first quarterly, we're going to meet with the department in October with the BRR process as well as the annual report. So some of the issues we can really flag there. So if it's really very, very urgent, I can allow Honourable Markie, but the others that finish the interaction, is that fine? Thanks. Honourable Markie, you're the only one. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
question that Mr. Sissoko is asking now. There are only two things. It's either he didn't apply or he doesn't qualify himself, but he's acting in that position. It's a bit tricky for me if I understood it. Then if he doesn't qualify, why should he act in that position?
Thank you for that.
I'm not very sure whether that was very clear.
No, I think that's a clever question, but let's take that first.
Can I respond quickly? Mr. Sissoko was acting in two chief director positions, chief director investigations and information management, as well as chief director legal services. He has since been appointed as chief director investigations and information management. Yes, thank you.
Ms. Kirch, can you respond?
Thank you, Jay. In terms of the CBS, maybe I misspoke. It's not that they maybe didn't take place, but please also keep in mind we are referring here to the national board and the provincial boards. We're not referring to the CBS at station level. Those are meetings. That's why we're referring to the 30 meetings for the provinces as well as the national. Now, the provincial offices did not manage to secure invitation to those quarterly meetings for the provincial boards. Neither did national office, but we were also then subsequently informed that the meeting for national did not take place because they are currently busy restructuring their processes to be in line with the national development plan, and we have subsequently now managed to get an invitation to their planning and strategic sessions. So there has been progress made in that regard. And then in terms of, I think I've covered all the questions and comments made in terms of that. I'm just going to hand over to
Mr. Anthony, CFO first, CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I need to address the questions that were raised by the members related to the expenditure report. One of the questions was around the over expenditure in Program 2 for households and what measures we can put in place to prevent over expenditure. That the over expenditure has been funded subsequent to the event. But I think, as you've suggested, to avoid showing that over expenditure, what can be done is that when people leave unexpectedly, before we implement the payout of their gratuity, we then reappropriate the funds so that when the expenditure goes through, it doesn't reflect the over expenditure. In terms also of the understandable concern over the expenditure trend for the first quarter versus the remedial action in place, just to put it into context, the budget that we appropriate and allocate is in line with the operation plan expected for that year, as well as the organizational structure. So your compensation budget is there to fund the positions in place. Immediately, as one of the aspects of that operational plan is not implementable, you will then start to see signs of under expenditure in that area. However, we do take the recommendation made that we cannot just sit and watch that under expenditure continue, knowing well that we are experiencing slow movements and putting on those vacancies. There are other drastic measures that can be taken, as the minister has called for, things such as temporary repartition of the budget within this current financial year, since we know that we are experiencing underfunded or slow movements in the vacancies to fund other key priorities. One of those, for example, is we have an ICT plan for 3 years, and it has been costed for implementation over the 3-year intake period. For this year, since we know we're already experiencing slow movement in vacancies, we can then prioritize what was projected for the second year to be implemented in the current year with the savings that we're expecting. So those repartition processes are currently underway. We are having engagements with key responsibility managers to identify those key operations that we can find with the savings we expect. We are also prioritizing the implementation of procurement plans. There has been an improvement in terms of the initiation of those within the second quarter. We are hoping to see the delivery showing expected improvement in expenditure trend in the second quarter, later the third quarter. We also started the process of actually evaluating and streamlining our expenditure and procurement processes to also deficient in the ability of the department to spend timely on their budget. So we've started having those engagements. Some of the measures have already been implemented, but we're continuing to look at all areas to see anywhere in those processes where there can be possible backlogs which fall back to the ability of the department to spend efficiently. I think that is it for thank you, Honourable Member.
Executive Director. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just a follow-up. On the tabling of the report, request for the report to be tabled last week already was submitted. My understanding is it was tabled yesterday. The Section 9A report, the referred to sometimes as a biannual report. I think it's important on the questions raised about filling vacancies, creating other vacancies, honourable market referred to them. The unique situation with the provincial heads and chief directors, your national office needs and the provincial, only the executive director can appoint those, and hence the delay because of the absence of a permanent executive director. So it's unlikely to be repeated, the long delay with the other appointments of directors where it's been, where there have been spaces created by upward movement. On the issue raised about whether the national spokesman will stay forever in his position, our policy is that everybody has a place in the sun, and we intend to give everybody an opportunity and upward mobility in the department for competent officials will be there. Obviously, in the long term, we need to look at a more structured, systematic advancement program, which we are busy doing. Instruction has gone out already in the Women's Forum to identify quite openly women in middle management level for development to senior management level, so that they are groomed and mentored and prepared for senior management. So that has been done. The issue of independence and of improving our independence and ensuring our integrity is ongoing. We won't reach it at one event, so it's an ongoing process. We've also tightened it up our integrity testing processes, and as we will see in later reports on the implementation, full implementation of IPED Act, you will see we are putting in place mechanisms to capacitate those functions. So that's what we are busy with now. Mr. Lamin, for you, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. On the community outreach, I just want to point out to the members that it's a huge effort for our investigators or provincial offices to do community outreach, and we have in the past met and even exceeded the targets that we set ourselves. Obviously, the targets are set looking at what we can do, the reasonable that we can do. We should be able to do more, and we try. Where we are not able to do more, we also have radio campaigns and other marketing campaigns that we do to supplement the community outreach that we do. And then, if you look at the other question on the tapes, whether they were given to the MPA, the recommendation, or rather the conclusion that we sent to the NPA are based on all the evidence that we had, including recordings. I think the last one is the Vienna graph, right? I think I have the latest information on that one. The investigation was concluded and the docket was sent to the
very much. We've yes, right, that's the last one.
I was under the impression from the first answer that the tapes had been sent to the FPA. Are you now saying that it was a report by yourselves and your conclusions that were sent through, and not the tapes themselves?
No, it's still the same answer. Everything was sent to the NPA.
Right, thank you very much. We've come to the end of this hearing. Maybe just a few comments on our side. It's quite clear from the first quarterly report and the comments of the members that most of the targets were not met. So we need to see a big improvement towards the other quarters so that the targets are met in terms of performance. Because at the end of the day, we as a committee not only look at IFAD, but we look at all the departments within the JPEC cluster. And it's important that performance of all departments must be on the same level. So those challenges, I mean, the full implementation of the IFAD Act, of course, is the imperative. And that's why Section 2021 of the IFAD Act, with the appointment of the provincials, is important, but very importantly, to get that performance agreement with the newly appointed people in place. Because in terms of Section 21 of the IFAD Act, there's about 15 tasks or responsibilities of provincial heads. And that's really the missing link. If you evaluate today's input in terms of coordination and management. So there's a huge responsibility on those provincial heads to take the organization forward. So when we meet in October, we will need to get assurance that those performance agreements are in place, and as well there's progress in terms of the performance, that there is an effective contribution from IFAD in terms of outcome 3, in terms of also ensuring that the police act in line with the Constitution. So that's quite important. In terms of the other reports that we have not dealt with today, well, Mr. Eady, in terms of your own version, those reports were only tabled yesterday. Yes, we'll follow through with the other people get the reports that are not tabled in time. You know, so you must just ensure so that that department of the director is done in a row and that the reports are properly tabled and that we can get them to time. Maybe just in terms of the implementation of the Act, because that's one of the issues we must still deal with. We also asked the Secretariat for the same, to go clause by clause and say, well, this has been implemented at that point. We appreciate your presentation, but I think it should be complemented by a more detailed evaluation of what is happening. Also the suggestion for the amendment of the Act, that is also good, but I think it must be read in terms of the comprehensive evaluation of the IFAD Act at least 18 months or say going to next year, that there is progress in terms of implementation. So we need that as well at the next hearing with the committee. So we appreciate if you can also attend to that. Thank you very much. Then just to the members, just to indicate we have received approval for next week's oversight visit. The members of the Secretariat will liaise with you during the course of today, this afternoon, tomorrow, to arrange your logistics. Maybe just to indicate, we are trying to start on Monday at 2 o'clock in Pretoria at the AG. So if members can make plans to ensure that they are already on Monday in Pretoria so that we can start at 2 o'clock at the AG's offices in Brooklyn with our first interaction. Members can liaise with the Secretariat in terms of the specific needs. I know specifically on the public holiday there's certain requests